This is the Pick of the Bunch by Basic Bananas, where we share the pick of the bunch when it comes to marketing, business, and people.
Hi, and welcome back to Pick of the Bunch. My name is Franziska Isely, and today I'm here with you again with Hannah Heder from McKell Media. And in this episode, we're going to share with you exactly how to approach the media and how to go about finding the right media contacts and really getting them interested in your story. So in the last episode, we had Hannah here from McKell Media, and you guys loved her so much that I had to bring her back because she knows her stuff. So thank you again. Thanks for being here again. You're just amazing. So in this episode, we're going to talk about how to approach the media, and maybe we can also include a little bit about how to put together a press release.
Yes.
For the structure. But should we get started first with, well, first of all, probably our listeners are wondering, where do I even find those contacts? And what media should I approach? Maybe that's the first question.
Yeah, I think even before that, Franziska, the question is to ask, are you PR ready?
Yeah, how do you know?
I think in the last episode, we actually touched on the importance the angles, of a website.
Yes.
So having all your
pieces,
components
all
together.
All your ducks in the row, isn't that
exactly.
A good expression?
I always
see a visual. Like with so many English expressions, I see visuals because they're not in my vocabulary. I'm not born with these visuals. So have all the ducks in one row, I just see it.
You actually see ducks.
I see little yellow ducks, the baby ducks in one row.
So the first duck you need is a live website.
A live website, not a dead one?
No, not a dead one. It needs to be up and live. There you go. Visualizing again. So it can't be in its development stages. It actually, people are going to search your URL. They need to find it. If a journalist is going to look you up, they need to be able to find your website easily.
Yeah. And make sure it looks good and represents your brand, perception again. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. The next thing to have is product. So if you're a business that's selling a product, you need to have product. If a journalist approaches you from a pitch you send them and they ask for a sample and you can't give that to them, because it's not available or whatever that may be, then that's not really good
enough.
Or
a service, right? Product or a service.
Or a service, yeah. Exactly. And then, of course, the last thing is high-res images. So high-res image media work from JPEG files. They require an image that's at least 1 megabyte in size, no less.
Because they might use it in the
media, in the editorial. Online publication, that doesn't seem to matter so much, the quality of the image, but for print magazines, it needs to be at least 1 megabyte. Now, if you don't have images and you don't have product or service ready and you don't have a website, you're not PR ready.
Yeah, I like that. Now, quickly, and you might even touch on that later, but, you know, the high-res images, so, of course, make sure you get some professional shots because it might actually be printed or come up online on a high-traffic blog. But would you just send them in an email? Because they're really big. If somebody sends me too many big images, I don't like it.
Yes. So either most journalists are okay with a Dropbox link. I would recommend that you never send a journalist more than, say, 10 megabytes in one email because you don't want to crash their system because then you'll get them off on the wrong foot. And then when we talk about images, we talk about them from a lifestyle perspective. So if you're selling a service or a product, it's a lifestyle shot. So it's in action. So whether you've got car seats that you fit into a car, that's actually in situ. So it's in the car being...
Not just a picture of the car seat, more like a happy mom with the kid smiling and eating ice cream.
Yes. That's an in situ or lifestyle shot. And then we work off another shot called a deep etched, where it's simply on a white background. And that's why it's important to pay a photographer in that instance to get rid of all the shadows and the lines, and it's just your product.
If it's a product,
Or a book cover, perfectly on a white background so that then graphic designers in editorial...
They can take it and put it into the context, And, you know, something that we do, I'm not sure if you recommend that, is... So Dropbox link would be one option. We also have, for example, on my personal website, franziskaisely.com, I've got a whole page, which is just franziskaisely.com/download. And it's got all the high-res images there. And I use this mainly for media interviews, like podcasts and things like that. But that's the same thing in speaking gigs, right?
Exactly,
You can send that to the put that in the email.
Yeah, absolutely. You can definitely share that with them as well. It's a great way to get them on your website and reading who you are as well.
What about quickly before you move on, because I know you're so eager with your notes here. You're such a good student, actually teacher. You're a very prepared teacher here. I love it with your little notes and so prepared. What about your website, do you recommend for the listeners if they have a beautiful website, to have a media section? And if so, what do they put on there?
Yes, absolutely. I think if you have previously had media experience, it's worth putting up there, because for customers, potential clients, and also for journalists checking you out, it creates credibility. However, if you don't have media, putting your press releases up there is a great way to share your announcements. And then, of course, then reiterating that through your social channels as well.
So if you have a media page on your website, if you already have media, put that on there. So screenshots of what you've
covered. Coverage, although you need to be careful with your copyright laws.
Are you not allowed to just take pictures of your stuff?
No, I don't believe you are. And I'm not an expert on this.
We have to ask a lawyer here. But
yes. But you could put the company logo.
Yeah. And as long as you probably put backlinks to where you find
exactly.
it, it's probably
okay. If
it's
online websites, it's fine. Yeah. But for instance, if you had an article in My Business magazine or Cosmo, it's best contacting and speaking to the journalist personally to ensure you're not breaking any laws.
So if you already have that, you put that there if you're allowed, and then you put your press releases and potentially even photos that they can have as photos.
Or even links to your YouTube channel, because for broadcast media, they're always going to talent check. So they're going to want to know that you are capable on camera or when you're on the phone for an interview.
Perfect. Amazing. Cool. And now what's next?
Okay, so to approach the media, as Francisca originally said, how do you find these contacts? Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I think it's about knowing your audience and then identifying the channels that they are reading and
consuming.
Consuming, exactly. So
how do you know? So let's say I know my audience, let's say let's say for Ocean Lovers, one of our businesses, the audience are mainly women aged between 30 and 50. So now how do I find out?
Exactly.
Which magazines?
So you're obviously not going to be targeting any of your men's magazines. Wipe that out. Mm-hmm. Think about Ocean Lovers Sustainable. Mm-hmm. It's about well-being and it's about health. So then if you're not familiar, go to your news agency. Go to one of your bigger news agencies.
And just look around.
Exactly. Yeah. And go through the magazines and see what they're writing about and see who's writing about it.
Yeah.
So, for instance, for that business, you know, magazines like Nature and Health or Wellbeing or what else?
There's so many health
Natural
and wellness.
Health.
Exactly. Yeah, and yoga, like all the yoga stuff. A lot of these magazines have their audience on their website, don't they?
They do.
Because you want to know for advertising, probably it's on the advertising page. Yeah,
you can find their packs that will give you their demographics.
Yeah, on the advertising maybe, hey?
Yes. Yeah. So for print, but that won't give you their editorial contacts.
No, that just gives you if it's the right demographic. Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
So then in the front of a lot of print magazines, they actually have the editorial contact details, the editor's name. Depends if you're pitching a feature story or a beauty product or a business angle, they generally have
a writer
to contact.
Yeah.
They may not have the email addresses there, so working out which publication or what publication house it's coming from. Mm-hmm. So there's two main ones here in Australia, Bauer and Pacific. Mm-hmm. You can call reception and actually ask for that contact's email address. Now, most media prefer email. They're time poor. They don't want someone on the phone.
Yeah.
Because they just don't have the time to feedback. And I can guarantee it, if you do pick up the phone to them, they'll tell you to put it in an email.
Yeah.
So if you're approaching a radio show, for instance, you want to know the producer's details. LinkedIn is a great tool to do a little bit of stalking.
Yeah, and Twitter.
Media love hanging out on Twitter.
Yeah.
For television, again, you want the supervising producer, and it's very easy to pick up the phone and call the news desk or the desk of the program that you want to pitch to and ask who their best contact is and get their email address. You don't want to speak to them. You just want to get their name and their contact email. Mm-hmm.
Love it.
So once you have your targeted journalist that you want to reach out to, we have this thing in PR called spray and pray. So you build up your media list and you can either develop your pitch and spray it out and pray that someone picks it up. Or in my experience, the best approach is to actually read what that journalist has been writing about, find out what they're interested in, and then tailor your story to their needs and their interests so that you have more of a chance of creating a hook that's of interest to them and they're going to continue reading. Because I can guarantee it, if it doesn't interest them, they won't read past the first two sentences.
Yeah. And I love that approach too, because when you do a little bit more research on them, so rather than, what did you call it, spray and pray?
Spray and pray.
Yeah, rather than spray and pray. I have a dodgy image in my mind thinking about spray and pray. We won't share it, but But the reason why I like doing a little bit more in-depth research is because when you then email this person, let's say, Heidi is my reporter that I want to get her interested in my story, I can even reference her story and say, hey, Heidi, I loved your story about women in that love the ocean or whatever.
Exactly.
So then you have a little bit of
rapport.
Yeah.
And again, a lot of these journalists are now on Instagram and Snapchat, and they have public profiles because they're all about self-promotion. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you can see what they've been up to and say, hey, I saw you at that awesome media launch recently. Mm-hmm. How good did that cake look? Mm-hmm. Just put that personal note in. PR is all about building relationships.
Yeah.
And if you are trying to sell something and they're not interested, if you already have that existing relationship, they're going to give you honest feedback. Whereas if you just go straight into it and you have no rapport with them, they're less likely to give you that honest feedback and give you the time of day.
I love that. So once you've got your contact details of the people you want to target, you put them in a spreadsheet probably.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you'd have their name, their contact details, outlet, etc.
Yeah.
The one thing to remember is that media changes all the time. It's a very fast moving machine. And so with your media list, nurture it, watch for updates. If you constantly subscribe to a magazine, just cross check it with your media list, just to make sure that when you do continue to pitch, you're pitching it to the right person. Nothing's more embarrassing than pitching to someone and then receiving an email back from another editorial member of the team saying, sorry, they left months ago.
Yeah.
Makes you look very disorganized.
Yeah. And then when you pitch your story, so in the previous episode, if you haven't listened to that already, dear listener listening right now, make sure you listen to that episode because we talk about how to come up with story angles. Do then, once you have a story angle, do you think most of the reporters that you pitch to, do they want a press release, or can you also just send an email with some bullet points?
I think both. I think you can either do a targeted media pitch, which is essentially all the facts to the point, outlining what it is exactly that you're offering, so it's a media interview.
In a Word document?
No, I would just straight embed email. Straight into your email body. Otherwise, alternatively, you could draft a press release. I find that these days, if you're doing that targeted approach, a press release is less valuable unless you're offering tips.
Mm-hmm. So they don't mind you sending them a straight to the point
email
with some ideas and here's what's...
Exactly. Yeah. So for instance, if you have a story around you're in education, you're talking about the dangers of deadlines, you would write out your thinking and what you're offering. So I'm offering you an interview with expert XYZ from this company. And then what I think is a great value add for journalists is if that's not relevant to something they're currently working on, which often is the case because they have a long editorial calendar, is saying, alternatively, this talent is available to speak about, and then list, say, 3 to 4 other topics that are relevant to that journalist and relevant to your business that could engage the journalist if your pitch is not of interest.
So you sort of give them your core idea, but then you say, hey, but if this is not relevant, we could also talk about this or this.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
So you can pitch a few ideas.
You can in one. Yeah. And another thing these days with the way the media is moving towards online and digital, everyone's seeking content. So if you're a really strong writer and you're confident at pulling together an article, not only could you offer yourself for a media interview, but you could also offer some contributor content.
Yeah.
And always use the word unique. You'll offer them unique content because they don't want something that's been on 3 or 4 other websites, and they're hungry for it because content drives SEO. Yeah. SEO drives unique users. And that's what gets advertising.
Yeah, exactly. And then I like the unique angle to use, actually that angle where you say, hey, I can do unique content just for you. And then, of course, if they publish your stuff, you will get backlinks, which helps your own SEO.
SEO, absolutely. And they'll promote you through their own socials, etc. So it's a very great, valuable.
I love it. Now, talking about quickly press releases. So you think there is still a space and the time for press releases?
Yes, particularly if you have an event or you're launching a new product. So the point of a press release is the who, what, where, when, why, and then providing some expert commentary.
But you could do that in an email too.
You could.
So when do you decide that it's going to just be an email, or when do you say, no, I'm going to do a press release?
I think it depends on how well you know the journalist. And I think for someone who hasn't had the PR experience, writing press release is a great way of honing your writing skills and really determining what's important, particularly if you're launching a product or you have an event, because you're outlining exactly the key points that media need. And if you're pitching a new product, they'll generally ask for a copy of the press release because it gives them more insight into the product beyond what you've been able to provide.
And sometimes they just copy paste stuff out of your press release.
They do.
It makes their job easy, right?
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
I'm sure yours has been copied many times. Like your press releases would have been copied so many times.
All the time.
What are some pointers for press release writing? Some quick tips.
Okay, so your heading, it needs to be attention grabbing. As I said in the last podcast, journalists are time poor, and if it doesn't grab them, they're unlikely to read past the second line. Mm. So think about something that's catchy and, you know, a bit of alliteration.
A bit like a news headline, right? Like read the news and look at how they exaggerate everything and then just follow that format.
Yep, short and sharp. So that should be your subject line, mm-hmm. In your email. And then your press release, insert your date of mm-hmm. launch mm-hmm. or when it's due to go live. And then your introductory should outline the who, the what, mm-hmm. the where, and the when, mm-hmm. and the why. Generally speaking, your second paragraph is a quote from the managing director or someone relevant to the announcement. And then third and fourth paragraph go into more detail about the product, the service, the business, etc. And you can even include tips in your press release. So if you're launching a new marketing masterclass, you can provide, say, three quick tips on mailing your marketing or marketing trends.
Yeah, or how to avoid the failures. So whatever, yeah. The mistakes, yeah.
Exactly. And then at the end, you need to have your contact details. So who are they going to get in touch with? If they want more information on the product, if they want a media interview, who do they need to reach out to? And, of course, the product or business website. So where can they, again, find more information if they just want to read some mm-hmm. more about the product? It's a direct link to the website. And, of course, embedding an image because we're visual beings. And it's great to accompany any writing with.
And you would put the image in the press release.
Absolutely.
And then you send the press release as a Word document?
Generally a PDF. Now, every journalist is particular and every journalist is different. You're never going to be able to nail it every time. So in some instances, PDF it. And when in your email, hi, so-and-so, please find attached press release outlining details of X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
Or alternatively, and the way I work is to actually copy and paste the press release into the body of the email.
Yeah.
Because as I said, they're time poor. They may not even bother
opening. They don't even have to open it. And then they can just copy paste out of it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And also from talking to journalists, two things actually that I've found is one, make sure that there's no spelling mistakes because a lot of them are really not into that.
Well, no, they work.
They work with words.
Words.
They work with words. Yeah.
Nothing more embarrassing.
So they really have a thing about that. And the second one is don't write more than needs to be written.
Absolutely. So I like to keep my press release no more than one page.
One page, on A4 page.
Yes.
Yeah.
And have someone separately read it, make sure it makes sense.
Proofread it and make sense. Yeah, exactly. Amazing. Is there any other tips that you wanted to share? When it comes to contacting the media, any little, little hacks that you
also hanging out on Twitter, seeing what they're talking about. And a lot of journalists actually put their call outs on there, what they're working on, if they need case studies. So mm-hmm. communicating with them, building that rapport via Twitter is fabulous. Now, following up.
Oh, yes, the follow-up, we should talk about
journalists
that.
Journalists aren't always going to get straight back to you. They might be on deadline. You don't know. Every media house has a different deadline. Producers work at different times of day. Some of them start at 6 a.m. and finish at 4 in the afternoon. You just don't know. So don't be disheartened if you don't hear straight back from them.
Yeah.
In America, for instance, it can take 5 touch points
until
to get a feedback, to get any kind of feedback.
And so how do you follow up?
Again, journalists absolutely just do not like the phone. And it's very hard because you feel like you're hassling them. So the best way to follow up is, again, via email and is to hit reply to your original email to them, because then they've got the trail and they can see exactly
what did you say? Because you can't just be lame and say, hey, did you get this?
It's not. I think the best approach is to introduce yourself again, say, hi, I'm just following up on the below. It's an event, the event's coming up in a few days, or if you've got more angles, alternatively, spokesperson can talk about X, Y, and Z. Really welcome your feedback because then they're enticed to want to give you some feedback.
Yeah, because you're sort of asking for help a little bit, which humans have a need sometimes to save us. Please help.
Please help.
I love it. And then would you just, so how soon after the first email would you do a follow-up email?
Usually wait a week, give them time.
A whole week, okay.
Yeah, and then every week thereafter for say 3 weeks,
a week or so,
three times.
Yeah. Quick follow-up and maybe change the angle a little bit.
Exactly, twist it. Or if, you know, in that period of a week, something's come out, some news has come out that's relevant to your story.
Yeah, you might tag onto it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool. I love that. Is there anything else that you wanted to share? I think the follow-up is definitely a huge point that often gets forgotten.
Well, when you actually nail the interview, get the interview opportunity. So you've secured it, being responsive to the journalist. If they do get back to you, ask for images, ask for an interview, get back to them straight away.
Make it easy for them, right? Because they're
busy. Yeah. And if you drop the ball and don't get back to them within 24 hours, they'll probably lose interest.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the answer, get back to them anyway and say, I'll find out for you. I'll be back in touch as soon as possible.
I love that. Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in again. And you, the listener, if you know someone who needs a little bit of PR support, please get them to listen to this show and also get in touch with Hannah if they want to have some extra help. Thank you
so
much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
To get more from Basic Bananas and to learn new ways to grow your business with clever marketing, visit basicbananas.com.